Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Hello, good morning, Jenny Locke and Tracy McEnany. Both very, very welcome back to studio. How are you?
Great, excellent. Philip.
Plenty of recommendations with you, long lists in front of you. Tracy, you're going to start with a little bit of Scandi noir. What have you got?
I Will Find the Key by Alex Anderol, right? It's a crime. It comes from the authors, the husband and wife team, who gave us The Hypnotist.
Alex Anderol is two people?
Yes, it is. Yes, okay. Two people, husband and wife team. And they had a pen named Lars.
That's a great way of deciding whose name goes first. Nobody's.
They wrote The Hypnotist anyway, which is a very good book, and that's a whole series of books that's actually well worth reading. Lars Kepler, it was another pen name of theirs. I Will Find the Key. It's set in Sweden. It's a rich family. They're gathering for an AGM at the remote mansion of PG and Monica. Monica and PG are family members. There's only family members present at this AGM. PG wakes up to find a photo of a bloodied man on his phone, right? So is this man dead or alive? PG blacks out a lot anyway due to the drink. So it's not unusual that he blacks out and doesn't know what he's done. He doesn't contact the police. He contacts a Stark Detective Agency to investigate whether he did kill someone, he committed a crime. If he didn't kill someone, who did do the crime? And this is, he goes to Julia Stark because she's just finished a high profile case. Now, there's always, I love a bit of crime, but I also love a little bit of romance thrown in. And there's a great dynamic between Julia Stark and her ex-husband, the police officer, Sid, who she, enlists to help with the crime.
But otherwise, is it typical Scandi noir fare? Plenty of coffee, open sandwiches and dark, gloomy nights?
Oh, there is dark, gloomy nights because it's in the remote Swedish, I suppose, yeah. But very good. I love this. I actually love Swedish noir crime. It's great, yeah. Sometimes the names are confusing, but not so much in this.
You have another crime novel recommendation for us, set in Brussels in 1952, The House with Nine Locks by Philip Gray.
I loved this book. Philip Gray has written To Storm Wood. Apparently that book was very popular. Didn't read it. I only heard about The House with the Nine Locks. It's a cat and mouse novel. It's very different from the usual crime. It's a coming of age. There's a bit of romance thrown in. Cat and mouse, as I said, a real mystery. It is about Adelaide de Wolf. She comes from a poor family. Her mother is very, very religious. Her father's a clockmaker. And then her uncle Cornelius, who visits her kind of randomly through her life. She gets on very well with him. He's the nice uncle that always brings gifts and brings money. And they're real kind of kindred spirits. And also, Adelaide is very mollycoddled by her parents because she has a limp. When she had polio as a child, she's been left with a limp. So, of course, the uncle always pushes her to do more. And later in the book, Adelaide inherits a house. And this has a house with nine locks. And nothing good can happen in a house with nine locks. But this is a book that will keep you reading well into the night. It's just very, very good.
Jenny might disagree because don't pick up this book unless you've got nothing to do until you can possibly finish it. Recommendation is Leanne Moriarty's Here One Moment.
Leanne Moriarty has done it again, and people will know her previous works like Big Little Lies and Apples Never Fall, and they've been made into TV shows. But Here One Moment, cancel all your plans. I was in a bit of a reading slump. I was finding it very hard to find something to catch my attention, and this book did it. So you have a flight in Australia, and there's a mysterious woman on the flight, and she starts walking up and down the aisle of the aeroplane predicting.
Is this a prologue?
This all happens in like the first couple of chapters, I won't give any spoilers.
But I love a snappy prologue page just says stay with me.
So she's walking up and down the aisles of the plane, and she starts pointing at people, telling them the time, the age they will be and how they will die. So she's walking along, she's saying, age 72, accident age, whatever. And when the passengers get off, the individual passengers are left to process and what has happened. There's lots of storylines going on at once, but they all tie up very seamlessly. And I found it very refreshing to have an older woman as the main character, the person who was walking up and down doing the predictions. But like I said, from the first few pages, Philip, I was on that airplane. Like, I could literally, it was such a visual read. And She introduces the characters, gives them a really quick little background. Like, you hear, you know about what the air hostess is thinking, you know about the person who's on a business trip, you know about the person who's flying for another reason. And then this woman stands up and starts all these predictions. And it kind of starts posing the thing of, is there such thing as fate? Do we actually have free will? And what I can say is, you start reading this book, you have no free will, because it's a big book and it's a page turner. You won't be able to put it down. It's really, really good.
Your next suggestion is about a journalist turned murderer. As if that would ever happen. but based on a real life case?
Based on a real life case. It's called Butter by Asako Yuzuki. And it was a Japanese bestseller based on a real life case. I didn't know it was based on a real life case when I read it, and I haven't read too much into the real life side of it. I am devouring Japanese fiction, and that's a very much intended pun there. There's so much good fiction coming from Japan at the moment. The translations are really good. So we have our two main characters. We have Kaji. She's in a Tokyo prison and she's awaiting retrial of a serial murder of three men, where she is the prime and only suspect. She'd last been seen with them and been a companion of them before their sudden death. And then we have a journalist who's investigating it, Rika, who feels she can find a new angle and asks to be assigned to meet her. And when they meet, the person who was on trial was a very good cook, and that was one of the ways she lured men into relationships. And when she realises the journalist has no interest in food, she sets her conditions. You must start cooking, you must start doing this, and then I will talk to you. So there's kind of nearly like a little throwback to the whole kind of Silence of the Lambs thing, you know, I'm going to interview this person.
But this is all real.
I'd say a lot of this now might have been taken from the author's interpretation of it, but the events it's based on were real. And there's the book now, it's not for everyone. There's themes of chauvinism, friendship, relationships, sexism, the position of women in Japanese society. And it makes for uncomfortable reading in some parts, but it's called Butter. It's got a very striking cover as well. You know, it's one of those books, if you see it in the library, see it in the bookshop, you'd actually be enticed over to pick it up, but you mightn't be enticed by the blurb on the back. But very good read. Very good read, Butter.
Tracy, your next one is set in a small fictional Irish village called Ballyroan, Mouthing by Orla Mackey.
I loved this book. It's a Kilkenny author. It's a debut novel. When someone said to me it's about a small Irish village, I was like, oh, brilliant. I love these, because it's set between the 1960s and the 1990s. It's a small Irish village. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody has an opinion on everybody, and everybody thinks they know all about you. And really, they don't know all the problems that you actually have. It's told from the various different voices of the characters in the village. It's intergenerational. Some of them are actually even talking from the voices from the dead. But it is a must read. Really, really enjoyed this book. Really brilliant. We're going to hear lots from Orla Mackey. And that was published in May 2024, so I was late to the party. But Mouthing, every customer I give Mouthing to really likes it.
You have another recommendation by Fiona Scarlett. What is in store for us there?
This is great. This is Fiona Scarlett. She is the author of Boys Don't Cry. That was her debut novel.
Ah, okay.
That's a super book, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
May All Your Skies Be Blue is her new one, about story of loss, friendship, the characters Sean and Dean. You've got, this is a much slower book, so you have to actually stay with it. But it's so worth it when you stay with it, because this book will stay with you after you finish reading it. Sean is a hairdresser. The book goes through her day, the characters that come in and out of the, you know, for the different appointments. It's all building up to the end of the day where she has to go to a place, go just something, an event that she doesn't really want to go to. But it also then tells the backstory of when Shauna arrived with her mum to this new neighbourhood. The mother was just opening the salon and she meets her friends sitting on the wall outside wondering what's happening in the salon. Like, very, very good. And that is May All Your Skies Be Blue by Fiona Scarlett.
Ginny, you're taking us to a novel set in Northern Ireland, but in a pleasing sign of normalisation, I suppose, not about the Troubles.
Not about the Troubles. And this is called The Raptures by Jan Carson. And it came out in 2022 and it had passed me by. And Jan Carson visited Waterford recently and did some events in the libraries. And so I was catching up on her books and I was I don't know how it passed me by in 2022. Like I said, it's set in the North.
That's interesting.
Ireland.
So these authors' visits do actually matter. They're important for bringing themselves to the attention of librarians, at least, anyway.
And book sales.
And book sales, yeah. Bringing them to our book clubs and to ourselves and the book sales. But in The Raptures, it's a whodunit with a supernatural mystery. So that's right up my street now. So I was surprised I've missed it. It's told from the point of view of 12-year-old Hannah. It's set in a summer, a village in the summer of 1993, and two things start happening. First of all, her classmates start dying. Hannah's classmates start dying, and then one by one they return to haunt her. So, and it's the efforts of the people of the village to discover the cause of the deaths have devastating and extraordinary consequences. Now, with all that said, the book is very funny in parts. It's really imaginative. It's very well written. There's great empathy. It's telling the story of a community united in grief and torn apart by fear. The Raptures, Jan Carson. It's an absolute must read. Really enjoyed it.
And in a, well, not unrelated genre, you're moving on to horror from an Irish publisher that's getting worldwide attention. Your Own Dark Shadow.
Your Own Dark Shadow, which is a selection of Irish horror stories. And it's published by Tramp Press. Now, I'm a huge fan of the work that Tramp Press produced. Like Sophie White, Belinda McKeown. If Tramp Press were reissuing the phone book, I would just go in and buy it. I'm just like, you know, they are a small but mighty publisher. Are based in Ireland, and this is a collection of short stories. It's edited and introduced by Jack Fennell, and it's perfect for the gothic horror story reader, the short story reader, and anyone who likes a good dark read. So it tells us things like an old house turns out not to be as empty as its owner supposed, a nobleman barters for his soul in exchange for knowledge, real proper old school gothic horror stuff. And they say like it's Irish literature's dark and ever-present shadow. And it's lesser known works of classic horror writers that we would never have heard of, but Tramp Press have put together with their editor Jack Fennell an amazing set of books. I picked this up in the local bookshop just because I saw Tramp Press on it and brought it home and loved every bit of it. It was really good and kind of was looking going, okay, do I want to read about ghosts tonight or do I want to read about an empty house? You can kind of skip ahead and skip back. It was really good.
Okay, final recommendation that we have time for, Tracy, your notes on Roisin O'Donnell's debut novel Nesting just simply said wow.
This is, she is on the bestseller list. Sometimes I don't read what's on the bestseller list because I always believe they have a big marketing company behind them. Nesting, debut, Roisin O'Donnell, fantastic. It's about Kira. She has two small children. Husband comes home for work. You know, the usual husband thing. How are you? Is the dinner ready? Yeah, the dinner ready in 15 minutes. He goes up to take a shower and Kira grabs a few things. And when I say a few things, a change of clothes, a few things for her children. She's got two very small children and leaves the family home. She's done this before. She's left him for about a month. His name is Ryan Patrick. And of course, his mother thinks he's the bee's knees. So Kira's left Ryan Patrick for about a month, but has gone back. So all the way through this book, you are shouting at the book. You are angry at this book. I listened to it. So maybe that's why I've got more, you know, very physical and emotional about this book. but it's read by Louisa Harland from, and she's Orla McCool from The Derry Girls, a really very good narrator. She narrated Snowflake, which was actually really, really good as well. But this is, believe the bestsellers list on this, Nesting by Roisin O'Donnell.
All right. Tracy, Jenny, thank you both very much.